We're going to continue our study out of the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Paul has been given a wonderful dissertation about law and legalism versus faith in the gospel. I am thoroughly convinced that without consistent and fervent, persistent and fervent study of God's word, we really don't know what's going on. I, in the years that before my exit out of the heathen world, Marvin Gaye had a song, "What's Going On," and although having been taught school early in life, the answers were there. I just had to refer back to the manual. So every now and then you need to check the manual. I know y'all drive those fancy cars, you know, those spiders, but every now and then, you know, you have to go check the manual. And I encourage each of you to continue to study God's word, because this has been a very powerful study. I don't know how it's affected you guys, but it's affected me tremendously. Because we sometimes can get sidetracked by the things of life, and we miss the very simple things in life. And I've always been one, in my teaching, I've tried to just make it real simple. Real simple. But many, Brother Reynolds, have tried to complicate this particular issue or doctrine of law versus grace. And Paul is reaching out to the church at the churches, rather, in Galatia and saying, you've been taught the word. If you just trust the word, because he's reminding them sometimes very dogmatically and then sometimes subtly that if you just trust the word, know who the word is, everything else will fall into place. The authors have entitled our lesson today, The Gospel, Faith in Christ. We've already established the fact that the gospel is in fact the truth. So lesson today could be aptly described as, the truth is faith in Christ. The truth is faith in Christ. See, because if you don't know Christ, you don't know truth. Because Jesus has declared that he is the way, the truth, and life. And then John, y'all know John. He says that Jesus is the light of the world. So he's light and life, and he's truth. And the authors today are telling you that if you really want to know the truth, trust Christ. You don't have to trust those textbooks. You don't have to trust Facebook, Instagram. I want to get them all. Slapjack. I'm going to exaggerate it every time. Every chance I get. Because when it competes with the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving Earth, when it tries to compete with the truth, when you'd rather see a lie than read the truth, I got a problem. So I'm going, yes, every time. Listen, Eve. Aren't you on Facebook? No. Do you want to be on Facebook? No. Nah. All I, because the kind of information that's on Facebook, I can get it from y'all. Because there's a day coming, they're going to charge you for it. Oh, yeah. And you'll pay. Because who would have thought that they would make you pay to drink water? I got truth on my side this morning. Today is Mother's Day, and we're in a new format in our Sunday school lessons, our family church school lessons, and they don't do themes anymore. Typically, you could always have a scripture, and it's going to relate somehow to, like today would be Mother's Day. And I know you guys strain your eyes trying to find something for Mother's Day, right? You say, I wonder. And Pastor Brown, as he began to preach, he preached out of Ephesians 1. Interesting. And it was Mother's Day, huh? Bet you didn't complete that one. 1-3. Was there? What was this title? Anybody know? Huh? I'm blessed. Okay. All right. So he didn't do it, so I'm not going to do it either. I'm just going to deal with the gospel. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Last week, Paul set up an argument, and he's talking about legalism. We've got these Judaizers. We've got these folk, these religious folk who run around. They're so holy. They're so heavenly bound. They're no earthly good. So they want to tell people, they want to impose stuff on folk that it was never meant for. And in particular, issue here that we're going to deal with today is the law. They were trying to impose the law on all these Gentiles. And so Paul has gone through these various explanations about the law and who's the true inheritors of Abraham's promises, and today he just couldn't turn it loose. He says, okay, I must have been talking over here, so I'm going to kiss this thing. I'm going to keep it real simple. Paul says, he starts off here with an illustration. But no matter what you read, or if you've already read the lesson and you internalize it in your spirit, And you're still saying, man, I just can't get it. Let's try one more time. We're just going to keep this simple. Verse 15 says what? So when they don't understand it one way, use another example. That's how you can really make it simple for folks. Paul here is saying, look, here's an example. If someone makes a covenant, if someone makes a contract, if someone joins or binds parties together in a relationship, in the natural, you can't just break it. I'll make it even simpler. You promise Steve Harmon that if he went to Georgia and he was a good guy, we got no bad reports, that you would give him $150. That's what you promised. Now today he's back. You can't run up to Steve and say, I know I said I was going to give you $150. But I'm going to change that to 100. Steve says, no. Steve, let me tell you something. He's from Waycross, Georgia. Yeah. And in Waycross, Georgia, they, you don't mess with the funds. You said 150? He went there. He acted gentlemanly. There were no bad reports. There's an expectation. That is not going to be 100, but 150. If you can't do that in your human relationship, what makes you think that God would do it? Whatever God tells you, you can count on it. Whatever God tells you, you can count on it. and won't nothing negate it. See, what may happen is you may be a little short. You may only have 100. Your intentions are real good. But that don't help Steve in his dilemma. You know why? The baby needs milk money. He needs 150. He needs 150. That's what was promised. You can't break the deal. You can't break the deal. God wouldn't even think about breaking the deal. Read verse 16. Does everybody completely understand that verse there? Here's what he's saying. That one right there is real tricky. Because whenever they talk about seed, people start climbing, you know, in the back there, Sealy, you know, yep, that's me, you know, and the person that was eating up all the food and not sharing it, they would say, oh yeah, I'm being blessed. I told you I was being blessed. But the promise was to Abraham and his seed, not seeds. You see, because the verse goes on to explain itself, Sister Khan, that the seed is Jesus Christ. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham's seed, and Abraham's seed is Jesus Christ. God made a promise to Abraham and his seed is Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you don't know the seed, you can never be blessed. You can never be a beneficiary of the promises because you don't know the seed. You can be an heir of Abraham physically and still not be, know the seed. And still miss the blessing. See, because you got to understand, that covenant, it was both spiritual and physical. He made a promise to Abraham, first of all, of land. That he would give them all the land up there, all the way from the Tigris, all the way down to Egypt. All that area belongs to Israel. That was their promise. That's the land. But he also promised Abraham that through his seed, he would not only have land, he would have lives. The land is for Israel, not for you. That ain't your land. The lives, though, is you, are you. Lives are you. Because you have eternal life through the seed, because God made a promise to Abraham and his seed. And they really get wiped out when they see that. In some translation, it says, made it to Abraham and his child, not his children. And Jesus is the child of Abraham. Y'all don't hear? Matter of fact, y'all heard the old preachers preach that one verse. That's how he came down through 40 and two generations. Inside of the seed of Abraham. Through the line, the lineage, to this child, Jesus the Christ. Real simple when you look at it now. But the scripture told us that. And to thy seed, which is not us, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus could emphatically declare, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by the seed. I be the seed. See, you are seeds, but I am the definite article seed. I'm the one. Verse 17 says, and he says, remember up in verse 15, I told you that God would never break his promise, that he would never break his covenant. You are so steeped in legalism. You are so hip on the law. You are so focused on the law. Don't you realize that the promise came before the law? Here it is right there. Told y'all that last week. I addressed it. 430 years before there was a law, God made a promise to Abraham that he would have land and lives. And now, what Paul is here saying, he's saying, he's appealing to their rational senses, saying, don't you realize that something that was 430 years, a promise, something from God, 430 years before he ever gave something, that something would not negate the promises that he made? So that tells me that God can be trusted to keep his promises. 430 years before there ever was a Mosaic law, God made a promise to Abraham, and he's still keeping it. And then he says, if you don't get that, I do have a further explanation. So just in case Brother Taylor didn't get it on the first time, Sister Taylor, here's what you tell. So now just in case you don't get that God doesn't back out of his deals, you back out of your deals. You're the one. See, because when every new thing comes along, you're ready to hop on it. But on this Mother's Day, I'm here to stand here to tell you, a lot of what I was told by my mama is still standing today. See, because when you stand on the truth, when what you say is the truth, you don't ever have to run away from the truth. And if can you imagine the anticipation of waiting on a promise to be fulfilled? 430 years. Not a law showing up. And then Paul says, just in case you still don't get it, I'll show you what the purpose of the law was. Let's read the next verse. In other words, what you got came through by promise, not the law. See, because he's going on to explain here is that if the law could fulfill the promise, you wouldn't need the promise. Then it would negate the promise. But what God promised Abraham, see, and don't focus in on the land here. See, because you can acquire land without having faith in God. But you cannot be made just. You cannot be saved without trusting in Jesus Christ. You cannot do it. You can have all the law you want to. You can read every law book there is. Because for every law book that's printed, every word that's in it, you are capable of breaking every law that's in the book. Now, I see some of you smug and turn up your nose when I said that. Yeah, they said it, Steve. They didn't. Nah, there's some things I won't do. Let me tell you something, folks. Until you realize that for every law that's on the book, if you think you won't break them, you've broken them. You don't understand. There's some things I just won't do. You don't know what you will do. Sin messes up spiritual antennas. So when you see somebody and you hear about somebody doing something, I'm amazed that somebody can take a four-year-old child, knock himself in the head, and then talk about somebody did it while he killed a child. I can't imagine that. I can't. can't imagine that. I realize because of locality, I may be talking about somebody's relatives, but folks, let me tell you one thing. I'm about the truth.
All
right. Don't try to run no game on me.
Amen.
And you certainly can't run no game on the world out there. Because you know what? Why are you up here trying to trick folks that are in the church? You don't realize you're dealing with tricksters. They think the whole that's Deacon Sneed, man of God. Let me go tell him this and man, I done heard all that. You think you safe in here? You think you're around folk that won't break the law? These are lawbreakers. Lawbreakers are sick folk. And this is a hospital. And that's where sick folk come, to a hospital. Oh, my favorite. They think they say, you know, people come in here, you know, they're so righteous. That would never happen in the church. And then when it happens, they hurt. And they want to run away from the church. That bothers me. I can tell you, here's an announcement. All you people think you're saved, you ain't saved. Oh, you brothers think you're safe? You ain't safe up in here. Oh, you sisters think you're safe? You ain't safe up in here. Oh, yeah. I ain't worried about it. I have an excellent deacon, you know. He's tall, he's cool, well-dressed, well-schooled, he's a spiritual man, loves the Lord. Shut up. Some brothers in here make a jackrabbit eat hot pepper and like it. It's a dangerous place. Capable of anything. Oh, it's Mother's Day. That's the only reason I won't talk about the sisters. Every law, you would have broken. And if the law could save you, if the law was your inheritance, you wouldn't need the promise. Verse 19 says what? You know what, Sister Dorothy? Paul anticipated the questions of the folk in the resurrection. They knew that Sneed gets up there, or if the class gets up there and reads that verse, they're going to say, well, why did it all happen? Paul says, I'll tell you. You asked a very good question. What was the purpose of the law? To reveal sin. Y'all want to hear it again? See, because some of us, when you're sinning, your spiritual antennas are messed up. You don't even know you're sinning. That's the nature of man. So now the law was given not to replace the promise, but to come alongside the promise. Serve a particular function, as we will see. And how many of you are doing now, military folk, you were stationed at Osan Air Base, and you are now doing the exact same job that you were doing at Osan. Anybody in here like that? Maybe not, so I can give you your own base. Are you doing the same thing? You serving in the same function? Well, let me tell you. I was stationed in the South Republic of Vietnam, Tan Son Nhut Air Base. I'll assure you, I am not doing now what I did then. Okay? The function. But guess what? Folks are still dying. But that ain't my function now. It's different now. So for a time, I was called to serve and to do something, Gary, that was very specific to get me to the next step. See, because when you were in Osar, you were first lieutenant. Today, you're lieutenant colonel. And if you were serving the same function as a first lieutenant, as you did as a lieutenant colonel, something wrong. But you had to be a first lieutenant because that gets you into your career path, what you're going to do. The law starts pointing us toward the ultimate solution. And here it says that the law was put in because you sinned. The law had, it required regulation, your behavior. You were so out of control that God says they're going to destroy themselves before the seed ever gets here. You see what I'm saying? It's no different. All the people that have been put in your life over the course of your life, they were there for a specific person. And that's why when you hear Pastor Brown preach about, you know, you're in a season where, you know, you have to jettison some folk. And, you know, people think that sounds so terrible. But what it is that those folk can no longer get you to where you need to go. It was temporary. They were brought into your life for a particular time, a season. Oh, man, we didn't know we were going to go there, did we? But that's what the law did. So the law came, and it does not negate them, because everybody that taught you, that put into you, that taught you something, they were aiding you along. You're what you are today because of them. Okay? But they were not the permanent solution. Your fourth grade teacher could not give you a PhD in microphysics. She couldn't do it. That wasn't her function. She had you for six weeks. And her job was to make sure that you read Great Expectations and that you knew all the implications of it. See, it did, then you went on. Because if you didn't understand Great Expectations, when you got to freshman literature, you certainly would not understand. Out of the night that covers me, dark as a pit from pole to pole, I think whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. And realize it's pretty good literature, but he's a stone atheist. See, but you had to have that building block. Fourth grade teacher's not there. Ninth grade teacher's not there. That's what the law, it was a temporary thing. But you're now trying to hold on to that fourth grade instruction. Do exactly what your fourth grade teacher told you. And you, 75 year old, 80 men. Because the people are holding on. They're holding on. Let's go right quick. Now, it says, see, here's the thing. Back in verse 19, it says that the law came, was added because of sin, till the seed should come. The seed is what? Jesus Christ, to whom the promise was made. The promise was made to Jesus. Y'all don't understand. That's why you gotta go to him, because the promise belongs to him. But that ain't where I want to stop. And it was ordained by angels. In other words, I know you read Exodus. I know you read Deuteronomy. I know you read all the Old Testament text. And you said, I just couldn't find it. But did you read Acts? It says that the angels were involved in that exchange between Moses and God. See, the angels stood in as a mediator, and then Moses was a mediator between God and the people. But he said, but look at verse 20. It says, now the mediator is not mediator of one, but God is one. You may need a mediator when you got more than one person involved. But this thing is all about God. It ain't about y'all. You know what I'm saying? It is God that mediates his own covenant because he's one. And so it is superior to that which has been mediated by angels and by man. The promises of God, the promise of his seed is superior to the law, because you can't keep the law anyway. The law only reveals sin. The law only shows you sin. The law can't do nothing about it. The law ain't got no mediators. Just sin, you die. In Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth shall die. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is absolutely death. Let me show you. I told you I was going to make it simple. I saw somebody, one eye went right here, another eye went down. Okay. Let me explain this. The mirror. How many of you have a mirror in your bathroom? In your bathroom, is there a thing that's called a sink? See? Is there a sink in the bathroom? And is that sink, is it in any proximity to the mirror? Where? Right on. Oh, who said that? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. All is well now. All is well. You brought me through. There's a bowl or a sink, a basin under the mirror. You got dirt on your face. You walk in the bathroom. Those of you who are stuck under the law looks in the mirror, sees that dirt, and then rubs your face up against the mirror. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Am I making this thing simple? This makes sense. This makes sense to me. This is how I internalize stuff. You rubbing your face up against the mirror. But did you know right below the mirror? Let me tell you, Sister Nina, you'll appreciate this. The Word of God is still a mirror. It will show you your sin. But also, the Word of God always builds in its bathroom a basin. A bowl. And if you look at the Word of God, it'll tell you that that bowl on a Friday afternoon was filled with blood. And those who are plunged beneath the flow of the blood that flows from the cross into the basin are made white as snow. Yeah. You want to remove the marks from your face, you've got to dip your face in the blood. Yeah. The mirror won't do you no good. The mirror just show you how messed up, how jacked up you are. Yeah. But the blood will cleanse you of for all unrighteousness. I'm just keeping it simple. I don't want to make it simple. So y'all see. So you want to hold on to the law, walk around with your mirror. But the dirt is still on your face. It is not until you submit to the blood that has flown from the cross into that basin that you are saved. Mirror or the blood? Law or Christ? Who you gonna believe? You gonna believe the mirror? Because the mirror can only bring you death. It'll have that mark on your face for you'll walk around forever. I got the mark. People say, hey, but you need to go wash your face. I got the mark. Yeah, we're all sinners. Scriptures have concluded we are all sinners. Now, in the law then, is the law then against what? See, that's a good question, isn't it? See, because it says don't become a hyper-dispensationalist and then just jettison the law. Because if you understand, the basin was there to catch the blood. that flowed. See, because death, for the soul that sinneth shall die. So you're going to be, you're going to die because of sin. But Jesus has made a provision. God promised him that so that men could be redeemed from the death of the mirror, from the death of the law. See, if you break the law, there's nowhere else to go. But do you know what's that analogy that I just gave you? You know what's really interesting? You wipe all the marks off your face. Get dressed. Come to Resurrection Baptist Church. Your good teaching, good preaching, good fellowship, greeting your brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. And go home and find out one thing. Oh, Lord, somebody done put lipstick on my face again. I just got the mark off. I'm back here in the mirror again, Gary. You don't understand it. I'm trying to make this thing simple here. We got to get rid of this law, you know, holding on to stuff that's killing us. We got to embrace life. But once again, I look in the basin. There's that flowing water. Washes all my lipstick away. And I say, next. So you wanna stick with the mirror? You wanna stand there stuck in the mirror? Or do you want sins forgiven? He says, the law is not against God, it's a companion. Because he says, God forbid. In other words, that God forbid means absolutely not. Okay? For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness should have been by the law. If there was one law that was ever written that would give life, then that's how you would have gotten saved. That's all that scripture is saying. But he's saying, let me tell you one thing. There wasn't one. Because like I told you a while ago, y'all break them all. Because if you break one, you break them all. There is no degrees, folks. I'm dealing in simplicity today. Sister Sylvia, here we go. You got a person on the 25th floor. You got a person on the 20th floor, and you got a person on the 15th floor. The person on the 20th floor said, oh no, won't nothing happen to me if I just jump off this building. He jumps. As he's going by, the person on the 20th floor, the guy was on the 25th floor, jumped. The guy that's on the 20th floor says, How goes it? And you know what he says? So far, so good. Y'all better help me. Well, y'all know I've been studying this week. Then somebody that's on the 20th floor. By the way, did I tell you the guy on the 25th floor? You know what happened to him? Yeah, he's gone. Then someone on the 20th floor came and said, what happened to the guy who's leaning out the window on the 20th floor and he accidentally knocked him out of the 20th floor? On the way down, the guy on the 15th floor said, how goes it? He said, pretty good so far. The guy on the 15th floor, someone comes and throws him out the window. The results are the same. You see, folks, sin is sin. The results are the same. I mean, if you might look like you're doing okay so far.
But you are a lawbreaker. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of jumping out of a 25-story building is death. You got to get paid. It's a law. See, and you say, well, first thing, what law did they break? Suicidal? I mean, one guy was, no. The law of gravitation. Inextricable. It just works. The law just works. And so you ain't got no. But hey, but let me tell you one thing. You can be on the 25th floor and intentionally jump out the window. If you trust Jesus. You caught. You got a safety net.
Yeah.
You got a chance to get back up on the 25th floor again and jump out again. But see, those who dropped out of that window voluntarily did it trusting the law. Because you know what they said? I was pushed out the window. I didn't break the law. I was pushed. I didn't break. So I should be spared. The guy that was thrown out the window, I didn't break the law. Gary Hudson and his crew came in and threw me out. But the law was broken, and the consequences are there. That's why you don't want to hold on to the law. That's why you don't want to hold on to legalism, because you'll break the law. You will break the law willingly, unwillingly, voluntary. That's what they're talking about, sins of omission and commission. That's what they're talking about. And, you just break it. Because you know what? Y'all sinners. As simple as that. Oh, I know y'all didn't want to hear that on Mother's Day. Yeah. Yeah. But we all are. And he says, God forbid. He says, now, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture, somebody say scripture, hath concluded all are under law. In other words, the scripture examined your profile and said, you're a sinner. Romans 3:19, there's none righteous, no, not one. The scriptures have concluded that. And he says, concluded under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Since the Bible has said that you are sinners, you've got to trust the scriptures and believe that Jesus Christ came as a remedy. See, Jesus coming is a solution to your problem. Sin only solves your problem one way, death. But Jesus comes that you might have life. And you know what it says? You can always believe in Jesus. You won't always keep the law, but you can always believe in Jesus. Because what happens is, once you believe, oh, y'all don't hear me? Sister Samson, are you there? Isn't it Acts 16:31? I think it's 16:31. I said, and you notice she's turning the pages, Gary. This was a grading session. See, I grade my students, then I grade my instructors after. Because 16:31, that's her scripture. That's her scripture. What does 16:31 say?
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
It didn't say, believe on the law and Jesus Christ. You got to trust Jesus, because the law doesn't affect you anymore. Wrong word. The law, you are not no longer under the law. You're under grace. You can never be justified by the law. And you never could you could have never been justified by the law. And all them people walking around talking about they never sin and you don't sin and all that kind of stuff, y'all ought to quit lying. You know, I mean, matter of fact, if you're a member of the Sunday school, they need to kick you out. If you're a father, they need to take your man card. If you're a mother, they maybe need to give you a break today, but get you tomorrow, you know, kick you out. I'm just keeping it simple to you. Don't let nobody, mama, daddy, anybody tell you that anything other than trusting and believing in Jesus Christ gives you salvation. That is the only way to get justified. That is the only way to be saved. It has always been the way. Faith, grace through faith. Read on so we can go. Y'all better read. See, I you know what, my brother? Yeah, y'all visiting with us for the first time? They normally read better than this. Forgive them. See, but the law, see, what is it? Where they come from? The law, if you ain't reading right, you ain't reading the word right, you know, they put you on blast, you know? I don't need no blast today. What, 23. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. Before faith, you had the law. And the law shut you up. The law constricted you. The law restricted you. The law regulated you. But now that you have faith, you've been liberated. That's why the writers could write, those who Christ has set free is free indeed. See, being in Christ is liberating. Ain't nothing constricting about it. But under the law, there's certain things you can't do. There's some places you can't go. There's some things you can't say under the law, because if you break that one law, it's over with. You have no hope. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? Therefore, the law was our... To what?
To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
But after that, faith is, we are
no longer under a schoolmaster.
Then let me get to you. You got to paint the picture. Yo, you guys may have already read it, but I really like this so much. This is right up my alley. Before faith, before Christ had come, you were under the law. And now Paul explains, he's told you what the purpose of the law was, then he gives you a perfect illustration, because he's just keeping it simple. He says, a schoolmaster. Now, in our day, we're thinking schoolmasters, this is somebody, this is one of your teachers. This is one of your favorite teachers down there. Like, yo, she taught you. You really liked her. But guess what? It ain't the same thing. The schoolmaster here was a slave. In the Roman Empire at that time, it was about 120 million people. 60 million people were slaves. Half of the population were slaves. So there's almost one slave for every free person there is. Somebody better help me. I got this thing. And out of in what we call the patrician homes, or those who lived in their praetorium guard, people of royalty, you know, high society, you know, high class folk, they had slaves that took care of their children, specifically their boy children. And this slave, from the time that that child was a baby to that child was a grown person, was a schoolmaster. The term is better rendered guardian. He was responsible for all the training of that child when he was a baby. They took him from the rich mother, they gave him to the slave, that slave changed them, fed them, paddled them, disciplined them, and swore by his life that he would never let that child do anything that would break the law. So, the child starts growing up. He's out of his pre-K years. He can go to school now. Can't go outside by himself. As a matter of fact, this child was not permitted outside that home without that slave being right there with him at no time. The child couldn't say, look, I'm the next king, or I'm prince so-and-so, so get away from me. You ain't number a slave. If he said that, that slave would slap him into yonder. Nobody probably ever know, but he had that authority. But when he got time, it's time for you to go to class now, bud. I'm the guardian. Not the mama and the daddy. The slave took him to school. Took him to school. As he walked the line, and that's where he learned, you don't get off this line. When you walk into that school, you stay right on that line. And that child learned that. As a matter of fact, the person was actually grown before this person, imagine by the time they got up, they'd be teenagers, they went to their dad and said, all right, get this guardian. But the law was that, let's say if 18 is the age, that's when you lost your guardian. But that guardian stuck with them, showed them all the way. But guess what? Why is the guardian taking them to school? Come on, guys, quick. Huh? No. The number one reason for the guardian taking him to school, the guardian could no longer teach him. So now he's taking him to be taught. So he takes him to be taught. And then at some point in time, the guardian is no longer needed. So he steps back. He doesn't need to walk him on that chalk line anymore. So he pulls back a few duties. He no longer takes him to school because he's getting ready to enter college now. He's a grown man. He can go. That guardian pulled back. That guardian, that schoolmaster, was the law. The law can only take you so far. But there will come a time when the law has got to be replaced because there's something greater. You're in peril as long as you stay under the law. But out there, imagine this guardian is literally taking that child to Jesus Christ. He's responsible, awesome responsibility, but he's taking it. He's giving him all he knows. But one day, he's going to turn him over to Christ and say, I can't do nothing for him. I'm the law. I got to step back. But you, Jesus, you will promise that if I just stayed around till you came back, that you would take over from there. And so, when Jesus comes, and now dies on the cross for your sins and my sins, he fulfilled the law. He didn't come to do away with the law. He didn't say, there won't be no more guardians. You know, nope. He says, I appreciate your efforts, but I got it from here. Well, what do you mean? He's going to trust in me now. And that's all he's got to do. He ain't got to learn no rules, no regulations. All he's got to do is learn to trust me.
Yes.
Oh, y'all don't hear me?
Yes.
The law says that you had to learn every one of those rules and regulations. Jesus says, all you got to do is learn of me. All you got to do is know me and believe in me, you shall be saved.
Yes.
That's all you got to do. You don't have to perform all 10 of the Decalogues or 937 of the man-made laws. All you got to do is trust Christ. Oh, that is the beauty of the gospel. Wait a minute, if y'all don't get anything else on this Mother's Day, you know, if it, for those of you whose mothers are still living and you're not saved, go back home and say, Mama, I got saved today because I trust in Jesus Christ. And if there be a mother here that ain't accepted Jesus Christ, who's been thinking that, you know, I've gotten on in my years now and, you know, I don't do nothing wrong, you're wrong. You have broken the law. You're hanging on to the law. You're looking into a mirror with lipstick on your collar, and that collar is not going to get clean until you dip that collar in the basin that is filled with Emmanuel.